The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Listen, folks, we all make mistakes. You might have a rolling stop at a stop sign. That's a mistake. It's a mistake to have a rolling stop. You might show up just a tad late picking up your kid from school. I took Quincy to see Dr. Strange last week. It was a couple minutes late. I mean, it's a mistake. It's a mistake to do that. You know what's not a mistake? When someone is killed and dismembered, that's not a mistake, Ira. The killing and then the dismembering after the killing, that's like in a very intentional, egregious, inhumane offense. Not a mistake. It's a mistake, according to one of the biggest names in golf, at least over in our lifetime, Ira, Greg Norman, talking about this new tour that he is the face of. And Ira, I mean, if they were looking for some positive PR on the heels of some on the heels of some bad PR when Phil Mickelson made some controversial comments, what did he say? He said there's some scary MFers. Isn't that what Phil Mickelson? But he was gonna play anyway. He was gonna play anyway because it was a chance, according to him, to hold the feet of the PGA Tour to the fire. Greg Norman, in talking about it, what was brought up was the killing, the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. We don't have to get too far into that, but the long and short of it, you had the crown prince, the Saudi Arabian royal leadership, basically it. This is allegedly green light and then execute the murder of a very critical journalist. Kidnap, murder, dismemberment. Been accused of those offenses by our government. And so what did Greg Norman say about that? You have to sort of chuckle at the absurdity of what he had to say. He said, listen, we all make mistakes, Sarah. We all make mistakes. But talk about the good things, too. It's like, once you see the bad thing, and it's this bad, can you really get to the good thing? Greg, I mean, it makes you wonder if this is how lightly you treat a human life. Man, you are just totally for sale, and you wonder what golfers would sign up to be a part of that. So far, no big names, Ira, but not for lack of interest, at least according to those from the tour is called the LIV Tour. And, let me give you his full quote before I go on and not just give you a paraphrasing of it. He said, this whole thing about Saudi Arabia and Khashoggi, this is Greg Norman, and human rights, talk about it, but also talk about the good that the country is doing in changing its culture. Look, we all made mistakes, and you just want to learn by those mistakes and how you can correct them going forward. This is not a mistake. Yes, you're right. Learn from mistakes, get better moving forward. This is not a mistake. This is state-ordered murder, state-sanctioned murder. Two different things, Greg, but why is there interest even past this? Because I had you look up in the break the top purses for PGA Tour events. I heard 12 million. I think you said 12 million.
Yeah, like Jack's tournament, the Memorial in Columbus, or right outside Columbus, coming up in early June, is one of the higher PGA Tour regular stops. The PGA Championship itself is 12 million. This week's event, the Byron Nelson, the total purse is 9.1 million.
So 12, 8, 9, 11, between 8 and 12 on PGA Tour events is what you said. $25 million purse. $25 million purse at each live, or we call it the live or live or LIV tour.
I'm not sure how to use live.
That's what they're saying.
I'm not sure what this, with who's sponsoring how to use the word live, but go ahead.
Right, exactly. Exactly. No pun intended, trust me. $25 million per event. They just made an announcement about the influx of $2 billion more dollars. I think that was on Tuesday. The money is obscene. It's over double what you're talking about a PGA Tour event. So apparently that is enticing enough to at least have some players showing interest in receiving a waiver to play in these tour events, to which the PGA Tour is saying, no, if you go play over there, like, we can't stop you from playing over there, but you will no longer compete in PGA Tour events. And so my question to you is, what's the difference between this and one of those European Tour events that they receive waivers for? If they're not on American soil, how is it a competing event versus this is a clear attempt to sort of box out what they think could be competition down the line?
What I assume the difference is that this tour, this collection of events, I'm not even calling it a tour, this collection of events that's throwing a bunch of money out there is not just going to be played overseas. There are events scheduled for in the United States. So like the European Tour, there are no American-based events, right? There is a partnership of some sort. There's a relationship. I don't know if it's a partnership, but there's the European Tour versus the American Tour. Like, there is some sort of a relationship. They come together for the Ryder Cup, all those different things. There are things that come together. I don't know what the full rules are as far as why they would or would not give a waiver for, like, the Scottish Open. But the Scottish Open is a lead-up event to the British Open, right? And you're not going to not give waivers to majors overseas and big events overseas. But I can understand not giving these waivers because this tour said, we're coming after you. Like, this is not somebody that said, because the European Tour has never said, we're coming after you. It's a tour overseas. Different events, different locales, different targets, target audience, different players, the whole deal. And there is some overlap with players at times because Europeans come over here to play in our events and Americans go over there to play in their events. But usually they're wrapped around majors. Both of those trips are usually wrapped around majors. This is someone that's coming in and saying, we're giving you the middle finger and we're going to give a bunch of money to golfers and we're competing with you. This is a competitor. I mean, you wouldn't play, you wouldn't work at UPS and FedEx. I mean, I don't think that you'd have an opportunity to work at both at the same time. They are technically competitors in what they're trying to accomplish.
So they're, I can't remember which golfer it was. I obviously not well-versed in who the guys are. But in declining these waivers, the pushback from those who have applied for the waivers is that they, at least with this initial round of events or the ones that they're looking to have waivers to play in, that they are making an effort for these to be non-conflicting events as far as timeline, to not just location.
Right, and they're playing over the first events overseas, and they're trying to keep it so that they're not a conflicting event, and they want to say, well, it's not a conflict at all. You should be able to give the waiver. But I don't think they're going to look at – I don't think the PGA Tour anymore, based on the – and I've been reading a little bit about this and following the stories, and, you know, there's only so much we really know, but it looks like to me that the PGA from the beginning was saying, all right, if you're going to play in an overseas event, we'll let you do it. Not a big deal. But as the language has become more vocal from people like Phil Mickelson – and obviously from Greg Norman, the PGA is going to dig in. And they're going to defend their stance, which is we're protecting our brand. And this is the thing that most people are not reading about in the stories, which is, do you know who came up with these rules for the PGA? The players. It's their tour. The players are the ones in charge. Like, there's a commissioner, but the commissioner works for the players. He doesn't work for, like, a league of owners of some sort. He works for the players. The purses are what they are. And they're not and a lot of the guys don't want to go and they're not up for money grabs. They'd rather stay and compete against the best in the world. And that's what I'm going to be watching the guys that stay to compete against the best in the world. I have no interest in this tour. And I have a feeling that a lot of golf fans have no interest in this tour. You have not drawn a name yet that has me say, oh, I want to go watch. You're not at a course yet that says, oh, I want to go watch. And I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah. See, so you talk about big name golfers are the top guys, guys who have spoken out against it. Justin Thomas, who you just mentioned, is one that spoke out against it. Another name that you mentioned, one of the top names, top performers, who you just mentioned in the break, Scottie Scheffler, they're saying, nah, this is, I'm not going to do it. Can't prevent you from doing it. Can't prevent you from, you know, playing on a PGA tour if you decide to do it. But hey, it's free country. You want to go and participate in those events and ignore the human rights records of those who are backing them. Fine, go do you. But you can't do us if you go do you over there. Which is, hey man, if you can keep that alliance together, yeah, more power to you. They're talking about having an alliance, much like we talk about the Big Ten and Pac-12 and ACC. They're talking about having an alliance, the PGA Tour, with whatever, I think you said the major European tours, the DP Tour, is that what you said?
Whatever their title is right now.
Yeah, so, you know, getting together to sort of box out this LIV Tour and to continue to discourage players, because I guess there were 15, I was reading a piece this morning before I came on Golf Week, and they said there are 15 of the world's top 100 players that had applied for a waiver to play in this European event, this LIV event, you know, waivers that have all been denied. Now, I don't know who all these top 15 of the top 100 players are, but it doesn't seem like, at least the ones you've heard, Ira, they aren't ones that move the meter.
Yeah, the names that I've seen are former winners, or European guys like Sergio Garcia. No one's going to care if he's off the tour. Lee Westwood, no one's going to care if he's off. Does it move the needle? Maybe the European fans are going to watch this thing, and maybe that's part of what they're going for. But you know they want the American fans too. They want the American dollars. They want the American spectators. And I'm sorry, but Kevin Na and Jason Kokrak, sorry to David, our listener down there in the Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area, who played golf with and knows Jason. But those don't move the needle, right? They're not going to move the meter. We're not going to get any. There's not a name that has said, I'm going. And even names that have been tied to it. Bubba Watson, although it sounds like he's but if Bubba goes, okay, see ya. Bryson DeChambeau, I know he's got, you know, but a lot of people think he's a jerk. Fine, go. I don't care. Like, none of those names really matter. If you get Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods, who would actually fall into the more of the, you know, older guy category, but if you go through and get those guys, if you can get Scottie Scheffler, and they're not getting those guys, sure. So you can tell me you have how many of the top 100?
15.
How many in the top 40? How many in the top 20? I'm not asking you, but the answer is not many. They're going to say we have 15 of the top 100 because they have a bunch in the bottom part of that 100. They don't have guys that people really are going to – it does not move the meter. It's not going to draw interest. People like me, I watch golf almost every weekend in the summer. Relaxing if it's – you know, especially if it's raining and I'm not going outside. I'm relaxing. I'm watching some golf. Obviously, I watch the majors, but the other events, it's a nice, relaxing thing to have on TV in the afternoon on Thursday and Friday or on the weekends if I'm inside. And I watch a fair amount of it in the summer. You know what I'm never turning on? Robert Garrigus, Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia, and whoever in some LIV event. Not going to matter. And I don't even know who's going to broadcast it.
Are you surprised? I mean, I don't know if I don't follow Phil Mickelson. Are you surprised that he's going to play in this? And he knows. He clearly knows better. Like, you wonder if Greg Norman saying what he said, it's like he doesn't he just seems like the kind of dude that doesn't really think it's a big deal. Phil Mickelson knows it's a big deal and was going to do it anyway.
Yeah, that goes more to the story saying that you and I have been talking about where the reports about him losing $40 million over a span of just a few years. He's lost a ton of money. Somebody crunched the numbers and said, based on his winnings, based on what he would have been making from Callaway and other companies, and what the reports are he lost in gambling, and then he's got other things he's paying, you know, just life expenses, et cetera. They're like, he probably broke even for the last 4 or 5 years. And so you could understand a guy like that saying, oh, someone's throwing $20, $30, $40 million at me. I can live my lifestyle and not worry about it. But that's what it is to me. To me, this is purely a money grab. And I don't, you know what? If that's what your goal, if all you want to do is to play professional golf to make as much money as possible and you don't care about anything else, go ahead. I don't begrudge you. I don't care. That's fine. That's your choice. To me, most of the best golfers in the world want to win the majors. Yeah, they want to win money, but winning the majors takes care of the rest, right? You've got endorsement money. And they're like, I made $12 million this year. I'm good. I don't need the extra 10. or whatever, the extra 15 or whatever they might get. Like, that's what Scottie Scheffler is basically saying. He's like, I've quadrupled my career winnings in the last, you know, just over the course of the last year or whatever he's done. It's been awesome. And he's like, I don't need to do the other. I don't need the grab. I can just sign up what I signed up for. Because they all agreed to the rules of the PGA Tour. It's their rules. They sign up for it.
Yeah, we're going to see how much these guys value tradition, because I don't think that this isn't just a market correction. Like, we look at NIL is totally different. All right. I don't mean to draw any parallels about with taking NIL money and taking this money, not comparing those two at all. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is we talk about these big deals in NIL. He said, you know, eventually the market is going to have a correction, and you'll see, you know, some of the exorbitant numbers that are being thrown around, you'll see those come down. I don't know that we'll see the numbers come down in this, because the spigot, as far as the financing for this, just seems to be endless. It's wide open and it's not going to go anywhere. When you talk about the Saudi Arabian government, it's just, they could just keep pouring money, billion after billion, $2 billion on Tuesday alone, the $2 billion influx. So this will be just about, you know, what's important to you. What do you value that? Because that money's going to be there constantly. Do you value, like you said, Ira, the tradition of it? Are enough of the top guys in the world saying we're going to stay over here, so you're always competing against the best when you're playing on the PGA Tour?
Say, man, a fair amount of those guys have a conscience. They just won't take that money. It's not that they wouldn't even go for a money grab.
That's the most important
thing,
won't
go for that. There are guys that just won't take that money, which I think is pretty commendable as well.
Like, I don't even know if it's a conscience thing or Greg. No, I think he is just I think he's a fool. And that's not the first time it's not the first instance of me having that opinion. I don't even follow golf.
I think he's fool, ignorant, doesn't care. You can choose your term. Doesn't matter.
But,
all
but
the above.
Phil Mickelson is different. Like, he clearly knows better. Like, he said there's some, their human rights record.
Yeah, but have you ever looked really close into his eyes? There are little dollar signs in there. That clouds your judgment, Sam. You and I, you look in our eyes, you see maize in blue, right? For Phil, you see green with dollar signs.
Yeah, well, clearly now. I mean, I guess I didn't know him like that. The biggest sort of instance of me paying attention to Phil Mickelson was he came around here and he was very, very critical of some of the headlines that were out there about him. He's like, look, man, I'm here trying to bring attention to golf in the area, and you're bringing up this story, and, you know, it's ridiculous. And he had a lot of people supporting that position. Like, why are you ruining this? You have an event coming back to Southeast Michigan, and people are here to support it. Why are you bringing up old stuff that might be deemed as embarrassing to Phil? He, I thought, was successful in aiming a lot of negative attention at that particular reporter and that particular media report, right? He had the support of the people.
But Sam, he did us all a favor. He gave us new material to use against
him. I don't know that you'll see the people, the majority of his fan base being in line with this or on board with this, saying, hey, yeah, they killed and dismembered a guy. They have a scary record on human rights, but you know, it's a chance to hold the PGA Tour's feet to the fire. It's like, I don't know what your value system is, Phil, but these two things one doesn't balance out the other, man. This is like the extreme level of egregiousness versus something that's trivial by comparison. Why are you bringing about this false equivalency here? So I didn't know that about him, Ira. Again, I don't know. I don't follow it like that. But the people who do, and there are a lot of folks in this area that were very vocal in their support of Phil Mickelson, you wonder if that will stay the same. If and when he gets things together and he's back out doing this thing. And you also wonder, as we get to a break, will the dollar signs eventually attract guys enough to say, you know what, fine, I'll just play on, I won't play on the PGA Tour. I'll play this LIV tour, and I'll play the European tour unless and until they form this alliance with the PGA Tour. And you wonder if that is right around the corner, because if you band together, I think it'll help both of you. I think it'll maybe discourage those who are maybe still thinking about it. It's like, oh man, I won't be able to play in PGA Tour events or DP Tour events if I go over here. Kind of changes the equation even more for those who it's not just a matter of conscience. And there you have, what, 15 guys at least who is not a matter of conscience for them, Mr. Weintraub. So interesting stuff in the world of golf. We need to get to a break. As we do, listen, an event up in Jackson, Michigan with our friends at Larry's RV Center. It's Larry's RV Center's third annual trade a tent sales event next week. It's Tuesday, May 17th through Sunday, May 22nd at the American One Event Center in Jackson. Hundreds of RVs on display, free parking, $5 admission. Kids under 10 are free. It's open daily from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. All you have to do, pretty simple, bring any new or gently used tent to Larry's RV trade a tent sales event, and you get $1,000 instant credit. It's that simple. The tents will then be donated to Michigan United Conservation Club Youth Camp in Chelsea. So those tents will be repurposed for a great cause. And you get that $1,000 credit that you can use toward a purchase of an RV at Larry's RV Center. Again, Larry's RV Center, third annual trade a tent sales event next week, Tuesday, May 17th through Sunday, May 22nd, American One Event Center in Jackson. Open 10 a.m. until 7 p.m., $5 admission. Kids under 10 are free. Free parking. Make it on out. You can find more information online at larrysrvservice.com. Again, that's larrysrvservice.com. I got to get you a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.